Paige Albiniak, editorial director at Promax, and this is the Daily Brief podcast. Today, I am super excited to be chatting with Robert Poulton. He is vice president, global creative director at CNBC. He is formerly vice president at NBCU's Boston TV stations, and he was a participant in the Promax Thrive leadership program. Hello, Robert. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Paige. Great to meet you and looking forward to this conversation.
It was great to meet you too. So what we're talking about today is this amazing artistic collaboration you did with Shepard Fairey called The Love Project. Some of you probably saw we ran an article on Brief about this, but I really liked the article. So I wanted to have a live conversation with you because I just thought it would be great for people to hear more and hear from you. Let's just jump right in. So tell me how the project got started. What was sort of your initial intention and inspiration? How did it all get going?
Yeah, it's funny. I think, I've kind of been drawing all my life. And one of the things I've been doing for years is just, drawing pictures and usually on my iPad or whatever device I'd have. And oftentimes it was, whether I was traveling somewhere or for work or just had downtime or what have you, I would just doodle and draw and in some regard hadn't quite known what I was going to do with this stuff, but just knew that it was something I enjoyed doing. And I think then as we got into last year, just, with COVID and with all of the sort of social unrest that we'd had, I recognized on my end that I had some prints that I had created. And I was sort of over time, just giving them to people I'd known, friends or what have you. If we talked or they'd come over or what have you, I would, if they'd see a piece that I'd done, I'd say, hey, you can have a print. So what I decided to do last year was just if people were donating to certain causes, I would say to them, if you're going to donate, and I did this just on LinkedIn, and it was really just the community of people that I knew on LinkedIn. If you're donating, hey, look, I'll send you a print. You'll just have to, cover the postage on the print. So, and this was kind of, this is probably April or May of last year that I started doing this. And people did that. And I thought, oh, this is interesting. One of the thoughts of me creating that initial print anyway was just to give it away to folks or to have it seen by people, because I thought, if by some chance they see this somewhere and it sparks a conversation amongst people, I think that's probably a great thing. I always think conversation that is organic or authentic, just that starts off without being forced is always good. So that was kind of my sense as to what I wanted to do and why I wanted to do it. And that's kind of what got the project started.
So let's talk about the pieces a little bit, because I think it's funny you're framing this up like, and then I take out my iPad and I do some doodles, and the prints are definitely not doodles. Like, they're completed pieces that currently have like thought and intention behind them. But so when you're creating a piece, or just what's your process and what sort of media do you work in to create pieces?
So it's such an interesting thing because, I went to art school, went to design school. Grew up as an artist and went to an arts high school. It was a regular high school, but it was specifically for the arts, and you had to kind of be recommended to go there, So I've always been a person who draws and does art and so forth, but I've never really thought of myself as an artist. And it's an interesting thing. I don't know why that is. It's just I've always, when I think of artists, I think of, people who are perhaps way more accomplished than I am, So these pieces to me, when I talk about them being doodles, I generally have an idea in mind as to what I want to do. I do some research. Do I find, I'll find imagery and say, I want it to be something like this or something like that. And I kind of just, the thing I like about drawing on the iPad, which is, I think, the reason that it's been what I've used to create a lot of what I've done recently, is because it's so easy to add something and take it away. And I just think that the process of creating is like that. You're always adding something, taking something away. Is this thing too much? Is this too little? And at some point you come to a resolution that, you know, you've added just enough lines or just enough color or whatever it is. And that's all that's necessary to convey an idea or a thought. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of late, I would say over the past several years that, I mean, I was an early adopter of the iPad when it came out and all of those tools that go along with it that allow you to sort of draw, you know, I've always sort of gravitated towards. So, it, you know, life spent in front of a computer as a graphic designer and a creative, and the iPad just seemed like a natural, you know, extension of that, and also allowed me to sort of look back at you know, the way I used to do things with a pencil and paper and so forth, and do that electronically. So that's kind of how that's where I do it, you know, and then I transfer mm-hmm. stuff to the desktop and clean it up, obviously. But you know, that's the, if you want to call it a medium, that's what I use now. I mean, as a kid growing up, it was pencil and paper and charcoal and life drawing and paints and gouache and all those kinds of things through school. But I'd say lately that the past, you know, decade plus, it's been, you know, some sort of computer-aided creative. Yeah.
Right. I'm going to ask you like a nitty gritty question, which is, yeah. So do you use like a stylus on the iPad, and what kind of software do you use?
Yeah, I like the Adobe, I like Creative Cloud, and mm-hmm. I use all of their mobile apps. Mm-hmm. So whether it is, you know, first I think it was called Adobe Draw. Now it's Fresco. I use Capture. I use all of those programs to aid me with what I'm doing. You know, so I like all of that stuff. It's well thought out. And
it's just funny that I feel like you sort of take all this for granted, which totally makes sense. If you went to an art school in high school and you went to design school and you've been a creative, like, of course you do. But, you know, like creating a beautifully rendered picture yeah. that people would want to donate money to acquire is actually not so simple, but I think yeah. if you've been doing it all your life, it feels more simple than it would for me, for sure.
Well, I think I'm always surprised whenever anyone would spend money on something I've made.
Yeah.
You know? But even in the world of work, you know, if people appreciate something that I've contributed to in some way, I'm always, you know, happy and you know, somewhat surprised at that too, because I think I still in my mind have this childlike thing in my head that I, you know, I'm just a guy yeah. who draws pictures.
Yeah.
And yeah, so.
Are the pieces, so in the story that ran on Brief already and in this post, mm-hmm. I'll post some pictures. You can see what the pieces look like, yeah. but they aren't, to me, they don't, like the one that you did, Push Forward, I believe. So yeah. that yeah. has a picture of a person, but then it also yeah. has, I think it says love. It has some lettering. It has some graphic design element to it. Is that all? And then you have another picture, the one of Sarah, and that one looks more drawn to me. But do you, yeah. because you have this graphic design background, do you feel like you incorporate both of those disciplines into creating these prints?
Yeah, I think so. I think, firstly, I'll say this, the Push Forward print, that's really Shepard's work. I mean, okay. I know we're going to talk more about that, but that's really his work, and you know, he's obviously a really accomplished guy, and I know we're going to talk more about that process. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. the pieces I've done, I think, yeah, some are definitely for me feel more like a drawing. Like the Sarah print for me feels much mm-hmm. more like a drawing. Mm-hmm. And then I think the initial love print, which is a sort of 24 by 36 inch silkscreen print, which is three colors. That to me just feels a bit different, perhaps more graphic in nature, but mm-hmm. and less, you know, of a drawing per se. But I think depending on what I'm doing, it sort of depends on how I approach it. So it's funny, I look at some of this stuff and I don't necessarily say, hey, there's a through line or there's a style to all of it. It really just depends on what it is I'm doing and how I feel at the moment. And you know, there's even stuff I haven't done in years that I would like to sort of go back and like, you know, lino cuts and lino blocks mm-hmm. and things like that. I haven't done in years, but I think would lend themselves to this project. So at some point down the road, I might go back and revisit that. And I will probably at some point then bring it into a computer or bring it into onto the iPad and sort of work through it that way as well. So we'll see.
Since you mentioned it, let's get into the Shepherd Fairy of it all. But so the one picture that I'm talking about, Push Forward, it's a picture, and again, I'll show this on brief, but it's a picture of a woman's face. And yeah. then I believe it says love in letters on it. It definitely has a Shepherd Fairy feel to it. So, yeah. but did that, let's just talk about like how you met Shepherd, how you ended up collaborating yeah. with him. And then we'll talk a little bit more about how that piece evolved. Yeah.
So it started off, you know, when I finished the print called Sarah, which is really more of a black and white print,
yeah.
I was starting to look around to sort of figure out where I wanted to get it printed. I knew that I wanted to use a letterpress technique to do that piece. And I knew that just because it felt substantial and felt like just the right way to sort of reproduce the thing physically. So I just started to look around for you know, places that I thought would do a good job, you know, printing. Letterpress work is, you know, kind of an old school technique, and there are, you know, obviously shops that do it. So I just started doing some research and figuring out who I'd want to work with. Years ago, while I was at CNN, we did this project for the elections, I think it was 2008, and we did some letterpress prints there, and I just loved that experience, and I loved the sort of tactile, physical nature of that that technique of printing. So I was calling around, and you know, ended up talking to Carrie on the phone, and Carrie at Aardvark Letterpress in Los Angeles, and immediately, you know, he asked me what I was doing, and we talked about the project, and he just understood what I was trying to do. And in my mind, this is not, you know, it's always good to work with people who you like and who are just nice people and also perhaps understand and have some, you know, passion for what you're trying to accomplish. And I sensed that from him immediately. So you know, we got along like gangbusters. So I ended up doing that first Sarah, that Sarah print, the letterpress print with him out in LA. And a great project. It worked out really well. And at the time he said to me, oh, you know, we do some of Shepherd's prints here. And I'm a fan of Shepherd's work. I know who he is and have followed what he's done for, you know, several years. And Carrie then just reached out to Shepherd and shared with him, asked me if he could, said, do you mind if I share this with Shepherd? And I said, sure. And he shared the work with Shepherd. That's kind of how the whole thing kind of got started. I think, you know, after that, Shepherd and I exchanged some email back and forth and just kind of to talk about, hey, what some sort of collaboration might look like. And, you know, obviously to me, it was like, hey, look, here's someone who does this for a living. This is his thing, and he's obviously really, really good at it. I said to him, I said, look, I'm gonna let you drive. You tell me how you think we can work here. And then he said to me, what do you think about doing about using one of his prints and maybe just modifying it and having that be a way that we could work together? And I said, of course. So we went back and forth a little bit about, you know, what that would mean and what we could do and just kind of arrived in a place. He's a very, very, you know, I think I said this in the piece, in the article too, is that, you know, you hope that the people that you meet, that you admire, are really also just nice people. And, you know, he was all of that and is all of that. And you can tell that by the team that he has around him, the way that they interact. And then he himself, his wife, everyone just really, really nice, you know, dedicated, talented people. And it was an honor for me really to be able to spend some time with him and sort of work through this project and help raise some money and all of that. So that's kind of how it came together. It was really a connection through the printer who reached out, and the three of us, you know, kind of did it. I mean, you know, I will say that the folks at Aardvark donated the paper and the press time, and you know, Shepard with his print, and that's kind of how the thing with Shepard got started and was done. Yeah, you know, go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say one thing I kind of glossed over, but obviously we're going to get to, but you were inspired to do these pieces, you know, drawings. You'd been drawing anyway, but I feel like you gained additional inspiration and probably thoughtfulness just because of last year's events, such as George Floyd being murdered in Minneapolis and Ahmaud Arbery in Atlanta. So as you were sort of translating what those things were feeling like into your art, how did all of that then become what you now call the Love Project? And then how, I feel like that was something that also made Shepard want to participate and helped him, you know, create that push forward piece. So how did all those things come together?
Yeah, interesting. So I think after the George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd, I think, and I saw that people actually were donating and were, you know, asking for prints, and I was sending them out and so forth. I think after that, I realized, there's probably something to this. So why not just continue it and make it into something? So that original print that I had done, I just had put the word, I didn't know, it seemed the one word that seemed to fit was the word love. So I put that on the print. And that print is actually called Love. It's a three color, you know, as I mentioned, 24 by 36 inch silkscreen print. And so I just decided to call this thing the Love Project. And that's when I said, I'm going to build a website and I'm going to sort of add some more prints to that site and see where it goes. And, you know, at the time I thought to myself, you know, it really wasn't a venture where I was looking to make money from it. It was really just a way to contribute something, I could do. And I thought the win for me is if you know, someone picks up a print or gets a print and it sparks a conversation, and perhaps a conversation that they haven't had before, or one that helps to open minds or broaden minds, or even just get people to think about something they don't necessarily think about all the time. And I thought that's really the win for the project, if that can happen. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of what attracted Shepard to working with me on it is that he recognized that what we were trying, and it's what he does in his work all the time. He's a guy who does work, and he's got a business that he runs, but I think a lot of what he does is philanthropic. He's looking to see where he can help and support things, and that's really what I've been trying to do with this, and I think he saw that. So, you know, that's kind of where how the thing came together. It really was I've done and tried this. Now let me just see what next I can do with it and where it can go next. And that led to some of the other prints that are part of the project at the moment.
Okay. And we'll talk about that in a bit. And one thing I just realized is I'm just sort of assuming that everybody in the world knows who Shepard Fairey is. So just in case they don't, I'll say he's an artist. I think he was famous before this, but I think where I came to know who he was because he did a poster for the Obama campaign. But, you know, he's obviously done many more things than that. What else do you want to add about how we know Shepard, Robert?
Yeah, look, I mean, he's a pretty accomplished, prior to you know, his brand, Obey Giant. I mean, he's been kind of in the... And initially known kind of in the skateboarding world as someone who, you know, initially created stickers and posters and so forth. And so I think he had his own degree of notoriety prior to the Obama A Hope poster. But I think that's where many people started to recognize him and start to know who he was. But he was accomplished in his own right prior to that. But that is perhaps the if you want to call it a crossover moment, that's probably a crossover moment where many people became familiar with his work. And you know, it's funny in the design world, I think, you know, that particular style or approach got kind of, you know, multiplied and duplicated and paid homage to quite often. So I think that he became perhaps even more established after that.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's kind of a style that's representative of a time, a place, a demographic. I was just thinking, this I should be right off the top of my head, but in my house, my husband was an early Shepard Fairey fan. He's a graphic designer. So we have a Shepard Fairey print, not the Obama Hope poster, but some other poster that actually it has the Russian, you know, the World War II woman with the scarf.
Yeah.
That's what is on the picture. But then he has, and this is where Obey Giant comes from, right? Because there's a little face of Andre the Giant, like hidden.
Andre the Giant, that's right.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That's the most.
Did you incorporate social justice into your work prior to last year, or is that something new for you?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Even when I talk about into my work, I don't know that I focused on much beyond just, you know, my job and my work after leaving school. And I've been in the industry, the broadcast industry anyway, for quite some time. So I can't say that I spent a ton of time working on social justice artwork, you know, prior to this. The one thing I would say is that I think I've always known and always felt as though that on some level somewhere, somebody gave me a gift. And, it's been on me to return that somehow. And it's been in the back of my mind probably most of my career, most of my working life, that on some level, somebody gave me a gift, and in some way I'm supposed to return that somehow. So, you know, perhaps this is just one of the ways in which that gets returned. I don't know, but that's what I would say there. I don't know that I would say that I've, you know, spent a career, you know, creating social justice artwork. That's not, certainly not the case. I think in many regards, you know, it's the conversations I'd have with people individually that perhaps, maybe I've learned something and they've learned something in that regard. And in my mind, that's kind of what this work does too. It's like, perhaps this is up on somebody's wall somewhere and, you know, two people look at it and they have a conversation that they might not normally have. And I think that that's kind of the impetus for all of it. So no, a long-winded way of answering the question. No, it's not something I've done my whole life, but my life experience, it's kind of what's led me to this place. You know, there's the obviously the things like George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and all kinds of other stories out there but I think there's a life experience that many people share. And that's those things were just additive to that. And I think this is just an opportunity for me to sort of say, well, what can I say, or What can I do in some small way to help contribute to making stuff a little bit better?
Mm-hmm. But so, you know, you mentioned this in the piece too, and I think it's a sort of a key point to all this, which is about the pieces as conversation starters. I just wondered if you yourself had any conversations, or if you've heard of any conversations that any of these pieces have inspired.
Yeah, I've heard, you know, people have just, you know, in conversation with me, asked me what the pieces mean. And I go through some of the meaning, for especially like for Sarah, there's a particular meaning to the elements that are in there. And then I've heard people that maybe don't tell me specifically what their conversations are, but they tell me, yeah, you know, I put this up and my friend came by and saw it and they liked it. So I can tell there was a conversation, but I don't know necessarily what the conversation is, but just the fact they're having a conversation is great. And then I've got somebody reached out to me online and told me that they had picked up one of the Sarah prints to give to their daughter because their daughter was worried every time that her father left the house, and for some reason he decided he wanted to give her that print just based on conversations I guess they were having together. So you know,
okay, your work here is done. Good job.
Yeah, it's over. So in theory, I've won already, right? In my mind, it's like the thing I want to do. It happened. But then the other part of it is, this is such a small thing that I'm the one who puts the packages in the mail, like puts the posters in the mail. So I can see where they all go. And they've gone all over the country, like, you know, south, north, east, west, all over the country. And I look at the names of the people who are picking up prints And there are all kinds of people. So in my mind, I just know that there are conversations that are happening. I might not necessarily mm-hmm. know all of them, but I can tell just by the many places that they've gone and the people that have picked them up and so forth that people are talking. So that's good. That's good.
And that's all, they're all finding that out through what you posted on LinkedIn, or are there other places now too?
Well, yeah, it's through LinkedIn, and I have this site online, you know, right. And it's called The Love Project, and people seem to find it. And obviously I think the Shepherd piece was, you know, and I know there's no question that more of my prints have been sold since of the association with Shepherd. There's no question about it. And I think that's part of what he was trying to do on my end for me was to say, hey, look, I've got a platform. And I don't mind sharing it with you. So, you know, that's kind of what he brought to the project as well. And I was very appreciative of that. But, you know, the Sarah piece in particular, I think, has some history to it. And I think that, you know, I've told that story to folks, and I think that that story also is part of what was interesting to Shepherd as well. So
tell us that story.
The quote unquote official start of the Love Project, and this is my own life journey. And my own life journey has been a little bit of a kind of discovery of who I am and what my history is, and trying to sort of do research and figure that stuff out. So my last name is Poulton, and it is actually comes from a place in England called Poulton Le Field, which, you know, at some point was the last stop on the transatlantic slave trade. So I know that that's where the origin of my name comes from. My family's from the Caribbean, from Jamaica specifically, and there were, you know, obviously folks from England who owned, you know, plantations, sugar, rum, whatever, in the Caribbean, And that's how, from what I can find, those are the first origins of the name that I can find there. So as I look back through some of this stuff, you know, I found a registry, which I believe is in the 1800s, early 1800s. And it was essentially a list of property that people who owned a plantation in the Caribbean, which would have been part in Jamaica, which is part of the Commonwealth, the folks there, that they would have had to report back their property to England so that they could pay the appropriate tax. And part of that list of property was just a list of slaves. And one of the slaves on that list, her name was Sarah Poulton Grant. And that's kind of where the first time I'd seen that name in my kind of research on something like that, a physical document that was like, wow, here's this girl who's 14 years old and she is the property of this person and she's being taxed. They are sending back money to Britain because, you know, they need to pay tax on this property that they own. So that was just striking to me. And I just thought to myself and listed her age as 14. I've got two daughters myself, one of which is right around that age of 14. And I just, you know, it stuck in my mind as just, what must that life have been like for, you know, a 14-year-old girl at that time in history? And I actually, it's funny, I actually printed out that document, and I, you know, carry a notepad with me everywhere. And as I was going to work, I had that document in the back of my notepad. And it struck me how interesting it was that I, you know, could be sitting in a meeting somewhere at work, and somehow all of these people who had lived a life so different than the one I'm living were able to sort of be with me in this sort of current work environment. So just, it was just something, an inside thing with me that was just interesting. So that's kind of the impetus for Sarah. If you look through, you know, the background on that, you'll see her name, her name is part of the document in the back of that piece.
They used part of the document as part of the piece?
Yes. Yeah. So the background of the image is that document. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then were you at all inspired for Sarah's face by your daughters?
You know, no, the face for Sarah came from, that's something else I'm working on, by the way, but the face for Sarah was just, a multitude of things and people. So, you know, at the time, if you were a slave in the Caribbean, you couldn't wear your hair out. It was something, your hair always had to be wrapped. It was just something that was meant to, remove the sense that these are women from the slaves there. So they had to have their hair all wrapped up. So in my mind, nope, your hair's going to be out, you know. And even if you think about, you know, what I kind of, you know, the clothing that I kind of illustrate over the shoulder of the Sarah there, that's, that pattern is something called madras, which is just a pattern of clothing that would have been worn by slaves at that time. So I think, you know, with a lot of the things I draw, that the bits and pieces come from all over and they generally have some kind of sense or meaning. But, you know, I don't know what Sarah looked like. I have no idea. But so I didn't really want her to be someone specific per se. But I wanted to try and illustrate her and give her strength and give her some longevity and just, you know, the hair in particular was kind of a notion of just a rebellious thing, knowing that that's not necessarily how her hair would have been allowed to be worn at the time.
Did you know those things, like the madras or about the hair? Did you know that before you embarked on doing this portrait of Sarah, or is that something you learned along the way?
I knew some of it. I mean, I think, you know, just from my own family, I know some of the history. I know some of the history of my own family. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing, I was born in England, so, you know, I certainly know what the British taught as history, but my parents are from the Caribbean, my family's from the Caribbean, so I also know, you know, not just the side from the British, but I know what the side of the folks that have been colonized, I know what that side is like too. So I sort of know both sides of that story. So some of it I know, and some of what I think is interesting about this project is that I get to learn some stuff that I don't know along the way. So I always think of it as, you know, it's, you know, I start something and it's almost like a design project. You kind of come together and you figure out, you know, what you're trying to accomplish. And along the way, you figure out what makes sense to include and what doesn't, and you learn things as you go. And I think that's part of what's been good about this for me. So yeah, some parts I knew, some parts were just things I learned as I went along.
So if you go to, not you, but you, the general listener, if you go to theloveproject.com, right, is the website. Yeah. There's a little tease of a piece that you're working on. So can you talk a little bit about that? And then if beyond that, there's anything else coming up that you want to talk about that too.
Yeah, it's actually just, it's loveproject.art. So love.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
No worries. Just, so that is interesting. So that piece is really about Black maternal health, which is just, I don't know that it's something I've just become aware of, but it's probably just become more in my orbit lately. And my wife works in the healthcare field, and you know, we've talked a bit about it. And I think about my own kids and how they were born, and where they were born, and so forth. And you know, I went through that process. I was there. You know, I cut the umbilical cord on both my kids. I was in the room and so forth. But the notion that Black women here have a, you know, 3 to 4 times more chance of dying during and after childbirth than their white counterparts, that's just a stunning number to me. I think about that. I think, wow. So while I was, you know, going through this with my wife, she had other things on her mind as well. She's smart enough to know that, you know, the things that exist and that might not be heard by her, and to fight, and she knew enough to fight for those things as we went through that childbirthing process. But I know that this maternal health issue is something that's affected tons of people. I mean, there are some famous people out there, Serena Williams for one, who had a really difficult time during childbirth, and a lot of it can be attributed to this challenge of you know, bias in the healthcare system. So this piece I'm working on really is is about that, and it's meant to kind of help shine a spotlight on some of that. I'm designing and creating, I'm also learning more about it along the way. It is actually the image that I'm working on is actually one of my daughters, my first daughter. So that's kind of what this next project is. I haven't quite decided where to donate the proceeds from that yet. But it'll obviously be an organization that's sort of working in this space. So, that's the next thing up. I don't know when I'll get that done per se, because there's no set time in my mind. I keep saying, oh, I'll have it done this month or I'll have it done that month, but I don't know when it'll get finished, but it'll get finished when I've learned enough about it. And when I feel like there's enough in the imagery that makes sense, mm-hmm. I'm calling it, First Do No Harm, mm-hmm. which really was, I believe he's the Greek, philosopher who actually coined the Hippocratic Oath, or is credited with, writing the first Hippocratic Oath for doctors and physicians. And I think that's the line from it is first do no harm. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that was an interesting thing to title and an interesting thing to say. It's like, yep, that makes a lot of sense. I know, life is way more complicated than that, but first do no harm seems like a good thing. So let's start with that.
Yeah. So in the interest of actually being correct, let me clarify a couple of things that I said. So first of all, for anyone that wants to go check it out, the website is loveproject.art. On that website, you can see, and again, I will post these on this in this post, but you can see the push forward print, which frankly does not have the word love in it. I was doing this off the top of my head and it was wrong, but it's a beautiful picture. It says push forward, and that's an exclusive collaboration with Shepherd Fairey. There's also a lovely picture that does say love in it. A lot of these do. There's the Sarah picture that we just talked about, a few other things, and then you can see First Do No Harm, which is in progress and has amazing colors. I think that's it. So thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate it. Amazing work. Really cool prints. It was wonderful to talk to you about all of it.
Thank you. Thanks, Paige. I appreciate your time and appreciate the support that ProMax has shown us. It's really nice. I appreciate it.
It's been our pleasure. All right. Great. Have a great day, Robert. Bye.
You too. Take care. Thanks. Bye.
That's it for this episode of the Daily Brief podcast. Thank you to David Tylov for editing this episode. Please subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, where you can also rate and review us, or you can subscribe on Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow ProMax on @ProMax_Global on Twitter and Instagram, and @ProMax Global on Facebook and LinkedIn. You can also go old school and email us at dailybrief@promax.org. And as always, thanks for listening.